Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
You know, just grateful to realize you guys moved me in the batting lineup to clean up today.
It's true.
You know, because, you know, some people need someone hitting behind them to make them, you know, look better.
That's so true.
I can do that for people.
Well, you are very versatile. There's no doubt about that. Just a versatile guy you can put anywhere in the lineup.
That's why Vrabel liked me, because, you know, he loved versatility. He loved me.
Yep. Vrabel loved Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Aaron Brewer, and Corey Curtis. Those were really his three guys here.
They're all tough as $3 steaks.
That's right.
I would say I was tasty as a $2 steak.
So, Corey, I want to start here. Kuharsky put something out over the weekend about PSL sales going well for the Titans and maybe better than they expected. And I think you can view that a couple different ways. Like, we heard from some Titans fans, you know, in the immediate aftermath that say, how? Like, the prices are outrageous. The team is terrible. Yeah. How are the PSL sales going well? And then you look at it, and, you know, it's the bright, shiny new toy with a new stadium, and it's more than just Titans football that's coming into the stadium. So when you hear that, are you surprised that sales apparently are going very, very well, maybe even better than the Titans thought heading into all this? And what's kind of your view on that?
Well, I think even if they weren't going better than they thought, I think it's good business to say they're going better than we thought. Okay, that's number one, because you want your product to be in demand. Number two, you know, if you were a current PSL holder, they did offer deals that did make it somewhat palatable to rebuy your PSL and get back into the stadium. Also, you know, you cut the number of seats by 10,000, so you don't have to sell quite as many. So the math is a little bit different there. But the other thing I'll get back to is it's a good investment, right? Because prices only go up. And so your PSL is going to become worth more. Your tickets will become worth more. And it can be an investment. I mean, guys, Taylor Swift does one show there. And if you've got four tickets because you're in a priority list, because you're a season ticket holder and able to get those tickets, you can make a lot of money on those tickets. If you want to sell half your game tickets to Packer fans and Bills fans and Jets fans who flood into Nashville, you can make much of your money back. You know, there's good business to be had by owning those seats and not just going to those games. Now, as we all know, it takes money to be an investor. You can't be an investor without money. And so I think, you know, from that aspect, there's a lot more people in Nashville now because our population has gone up with a lot more businesses who have money and can make, you know, that investment. It might not be the average person, but there are other people who can do that and understand it as a possibility, you know, to make money. And, you know, hopefully, the one argument that I brought up that I haven't brought up that stands is people understand they're not going to stink forever, and that, you know, these things happen to most teams. You know, even the Patriots stink, so it happens, and so they won't stink forever. And if you're a fan of the team, you're a fan of the team, and you can still buy tickets if that's the way you want to spend your money.
So, Corey, at this point, is there any doubt left in your mind that with all we've seen, including now the cancellation of the, you know, the private workout with Shedeur Sanders, that the Titans are taking Cam Ward number one?
You know, I would leave like a 3% window that it wouldn't be Cam Ward, that somebody comes in with an astronomical trade and they decide to go with Picks and Sanders or Hunter or whatever. But it would seem hard to believe. And like, I know Deion's kind of a no BS guy. And I mean, what do you think happened? Do you think, hey, if you're going to pick him, or seriously, if you're thinking about picking him, work him out, but if you're going to take Ward, we're not going to work out. Is that what you think happened?
Maybe.
Could be.
Yeah. I mean, or the Titans were just like, they just decided to do it on their own. But yeah, I mean, I think that's plausible for sure. Kind of like, okay, do we need to spend more time, or like, do you guys know what you're doing? You know, let's just go ahead and not waste any more time. I think I could see that.
What do you think of him dirting the last throw?
I don't know. I mean, not something you typically see at a pro day. I mean, there the other thought, Corey, on the pro day was apparently a couple throws, the ball a little bit wobbly, cut him out of his hands. We were really getting in the pro day analyzation over the weekend. A little wobbly.
Well, I mean, one is the ball comes out of his hand a little wobbly. One's a choice.
That's true.
One's a choice to not try to make it happen, you know, on your pro day. And maybe I'm being hypercritical.
Good awareness. But, not throwing the ball into traffic.
Yeah, but it's pro day. You know, you're trying to show off.
I don't know. I haven't seen that one before at a pro day. So how far do you think he could slide? That's the other – like, I think he's probably the most interesting story in the draft because he could very well go two to Cleveland, and then he could very well slide, like, into the middle of first round. Like, I have no idea where Shedeur Sanders is going to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, there are some people who think he's worthy of a top five pick, but there are a lot of people who think he's a late first, early second. So I guess it depends. You know, I always said it takes one team, all right? But there are a number of teams that are quarterback needy. You know, the Jets, the Steelers, the Saints. What about the Saints? Don't they pick like 8 or 9?
They're 9th, yep.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't take them off the board, you know, for Shedeur Sanders. Because, you know, they've made it clear, they're going with Derek Carr, but they didn't give that a ringing endorsement. I think they're just financially saddled, you know, to him right now. So I would be surprised to see him get out of the first round, but it's just a matter of, you know, how far the slide is. Like Justin Fields slid to 15, and then the Bears traded up when he was still available. I think it was to 15, you know, to get him. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if he slid. If somebody traded up into the top 15 to get him. So I guess I'd be surprised if he made it out of the top 15. But I certainly wouldn't expect to see him get past 21 to Pittsburgh.
So, Corey, you know, we talked to Diana Rossini, who, of course, you are now sending home with a double down the line, down the right field line.
You know, she got the easy questions from you. And, you know, you guys, you know, coming at me.
That's true.
Exactly. Coming up with a knuckle curve here. But, no, she mentioned, you know, the idea of, you know, the patience with Brian Callahan of, you know, people may think, you know, new GM wants his own guy. We've all talked a lot about Callahan on the hot seat. But kind of, you know, basically said that she thinks Borgonzi wants to work out with Callahan, which again to me it's like, yeah, he should, or else then you fire him already. But yeah. What do you think of that, and also the idea that is it possible if Amy Adams Strunk, who obviously publicly is just completely going recluse now, but may pull back a little bit and kind of let these guys deal with it. How do you feel about, you know, let them make the hard football decisions? How do you feel about Brian Callahan's security?
Well, I mean, look, they went 3-14, and, you know, do I think he's entirely to blame? No. I mean, we all saw the plays that weren't made and plays that were there to be made that weren't made. And that's not entirely, you know, on the coach, but ultimately, you know, it's like being commander of the Enterprise. You're responsible for conduct of crew. And so at some point, you know, you're responsible, you know, for winning and losing. I think, you know, it's possible to say first year and subpar quarterback play, you know, subpar play here. It's like, you know, giving a young quarterback a chance with personnel around him. You got to give the coach some personnel around him to get a better view of things. You know, as I recall, there was a coach in New England who didn't win a Super Bowl without Tom Brady. So, you know, I think personnel does matter. But at the same time, you know, I was talking to Teron about this. You know, do you feel like, I mean, I feel like, you know, Callahan's there. I think Callahan's getting his input, but I don't think he's anything close to the draft process like he was last year.
I mean, I think it's fair, and they also got – there's so many freaking people in the front office now. It's hard to like. There's just it's an incredible amount of people involved in this decision making.
Yeah, and so they said it's going to be a discussion, but you know I think that that's their job, all right. And so I think they've got the front office. It's their job to buy the groceries, and I think it's Callahan's job to cook with them. And I think that's the traditional model. It's the model that I personally think, you know, works better. And so now that he's their coach, you know, I think, you know, they will give him a chance. But, guys, I agree. I think the best thing for the Titans, the best thing for Mike Borgonzi is that he has a winning coach and that he doesn't have to deal with that. But, you know, if they go 3-14 again, guys, we'll have a new head coach next year. I don't think there's much question about that.
So are you throwing it out there? Are we going from let Rand cook to let Callahan cook? Is that what you're dubbing here?
Let Callie cook?
I'm not dubbing anything. It's just, how about this? Do your job. That's what everybody needs to do. Do, in the words of Hurt Brooks, do your job. Yeah. Play your game. All right? That's what everybody just needs to do. And, you know, you can lose and people say they're doing their job and they're getting better. They just don't have enough of this. But there's a difference between that and, you know, guys looking unprepared, guys being sloppy. You know, penalties are preventable, okay? I think last year the penalties were one of the really bad things that if I were Brian Callahan, I would want to clean up. Because penalties happen when you're not prepared, when your fundamentals are wrong and you're in a bad position, or you're just not concentrating enough. And you're not focused enough on the task at hand. And, you know, those are, you know, usually preventable things. There's a reason a lot of the really good teams, you know, that when Vrabel came in, weren't they like one of the least penalized teams in the league?
I believe so. I believe that is correct.
Yeah. And then, like, the last couple of years, didn't those penalties go up?
They did. They had Andre Diller trying to hold everybody.
Yeah. Well, as the personnel got worse, the penalties went up because they're – physical abilities to do things weren't as good. And so, you know, they've got to get better players, number one, but they've got to get that discipline back where they're not committing penalties. And that, to me, that is something that is coachable. And that takes you out of bad situations. So people have to do their jobs. And if they don't do their jobs, and, you know, look, you can argue we saw that with Rand. They went 3-14. If you don't do your job, you're going to be looking for another job.
Corey, a truly cleanup-worthy performance by you today here on the program. We appreciate so much your time and you being flexible with us, and we will talk to you next week.
Well, you know, I got my torpedo bat, and
good to see.
I had a 3-0 fastball, and I said, "Damn the torpedoes!" And we just let it rip.
You smoked it,
nice.
Yeah. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Thank you, Corey.
All right,
later,
ladies.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. We'll react to what Corey had to say, plus some news on the program that we'll get to coming up next. A lot to get to, actually, here in the next few minutes. Some news from Adam Schefter as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.